Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your loving kindness today. Lord, you've been good to us. Lord, you've been good to us all of 2024, Father, as we get ready to go into our new year. We begin to give you thanks for all the wonders that you have performed for us, Lord God, that this is going to be a good day. Lord, you're going to speak to us by revelation, by your Holy Spirit. You're going to increase us in knowledge, understanding, insight into the Word of God. So we thank you for this time we can come together, celebrate the life of Christ in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let us return back to Daniel again. Daniel kind of blew up on me a little bit here, as if it hadn't already been big. But when you were getting near the end of Nebuchadnezzar's life, Nebuchadnezzar is very involved in Daniel 1, Daniel 2, Daniel 3. Very involved. He comes to him in dreams. He visits him in the dark times of his night. He tells him things of his life, of his future. And God speaks to us. My sheep hear my voice. God speaks to us. Do we interpret what he's telling us? Do we understand when God is speaking to us? That might be on the table for us to concentrate on, for us to meditate on, for us to come to understand. God speaks to me. Certainly we're not saying God's a liar. Certainly we're not saying God doesn't speak to us. How can we say God doesn't speak to us when he does? And so my sheep hear my voice. So the question now is, are we hearing it? Do we understand what he's saying? He was speaking to Nebuchadnezzar, his servant, and the reason why this blew up so much for me is all the inspiration started in Jonah. We located where Jonah was in Scripture, and we began to follow his trail. And the Spirit of God was moving in the days of Jonah. We know that he loved the people of Nineveh, who were the people of the Assyrians, who was a great and mighty empire at the time. And this is why it blows up. These dots are connected by such bold lines. It's difficult to just take Daniel as a book and say, let's understand Daniel, when we haven't understood the history of Judah and understand what happens in 2 Chronicles 34 and 35 and 36. If we haven't grabbed a hold of that and saw their end of days and begin to understand that God's moving here. Now, you might not like what he's doing, but God's moving here. When he's bringing nations down, that's not a pretty thing. There's destruction, there's pestilence, there's darkness. The earth can open up. There's all kinds of things that are happening as God begins to move in judgment of these nations. He lists these nations up. And when you begin to understand what's going on, what all is going on in this picture? Well, when Daniel's alive, Ezekiel was alive. Ezekiel is a big book, right? And so to understand Ezekiel, you will further understand Daniel. Because things that Ezekiel did, Daniel knew and understood. That's going to bring clarity to chapter 4 of Daniel. So this man has had a dream. It's not that Daniel is not aware of that. You realize how high he is amongst the hierarchy of Babylon by this time. He's the chief magician. He's the chief of the conjurers. He's the chief of the men of wisdom there. He's the one. He's the man. This is who Daniel is. And you're going to tell me he doesn't know anything that's going on in the realm of the kingdom? I don't think that that's what it's going to be. There's got to be a premise that he's aware. So you might want to ask yourself, does he love his people, Daniel? All the wonderful characteristics and qualities of Daniel's life, is he concerned about Jerusalem? Does he know that there's prophets in the land? I say yes and amen, he does. He's not unaware of what's going on. How can you have a president or a prime minister of a country that is unaware and not know what's going on? No, wait a minute. Why would you have, let me change the question again. Why would you have a president or a prime minister in charge of a country who does not know what's going on? Why would you put that man in charge? So I'm laying out some premise here to try to understand. When this dream comes, it's not the first time Daniel's heard about this type of thing. Because it's not. Absolutely. Ezekiel will explain this to us. Jeremiah will explain it to us. But it's kind of outside of the premise of where we're going here. Let's go to Daniel 4. Daniel 4 is written in such a way that the events have already happened. Okay, and this, it'll become clear. This doesn't take great insight to be able to see this. He has already gone through these events. So what helps us to understand is, well, how long were these events? And it explains that, but not till the end. So just for clarity here, this is almost a 10-year period of time that we're going to read this. Nebuchadnezzar is going to come back. He's going to come out of this situation. This dream is finally going to make the most sense to him than it ever has in his life. What dream? Well, he's the head of gold. And you have the bronze. And you have the silver. And you have the body. And you have the iron and the clay. You have this image that was before him. And he didn't interpret it right. What was he thinking? Oh, God wants me to build an idol. But that's what he did. And then what happened was chapter 3. When this idol was built and the statue was tall, three times the size of this building, the height. That was massive. It was huge. And the people were forced to bow down before it. Idols are an interesting, Pastor Bill had challenged me with this thought over the years, and I'm sure some of you too. When you talk about an idol, what do you really mean? Jeremiah has a lot to say about that in Jeremiah 17 and 14. The elders came to him, and he talked about the idols that they had set up in their mind. And judgment was going to come to them because of these things. You might have read those kinds of things. So here he is, Nebuchadnezzar, the king to all the peoples, nations, and men in every language that lived in the earth. God had given this to him. That's clear when you read Ezekiel. Clear when you read Jeremiah. Very clear when you read 2 Chronicles 34 and 35. Very clear who this man is. Assyria was going, I read this to Phil the other day. This is what the scripture says. Assyria was going to be given to a despot. An unsavory character, a despot is what it says in the scripture. And yet he calls him his servant. Interesting. So this is the man that God raised up. You have to accept the man that God raised up. He told them to pack their bags. Ezekiel was very clear about this. Pack your bags, go serve the king of Babylon. And you will go there, Jeremiah talks about it. 70 years, you're going to be there. These are all connected prophets. So in this part of history, I'm not trying to jump around too much, but in this part of history, in 2 Chronicles 34 and 35, the entire prophetic book, the entire prophetic book of Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, are all in those two chapters. The entire lifespan and lifetime of these men are found in those two chapters. So when you read that historical book, you have to understand that these guys were alive and they were dropping words on the land. God was doing something in the land. And he's doing something in this land. Do we see it? Do we know it? Do we understand it? Here we go. May your peace abound. This is Nebuchadnezzar writing something. May your peace abound. It seems good to me, Nebuchadnezzar speaking, to declare the signs and wonders which the Most High has done for me. This is interesting. So it's already been done. This is how God has blessed him. This is how God has visited him. It seems good to me. He saw Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego in the fire with a man like the Son of God in the fire. He saw this with his eyes, and it didn't convince him to change his ways just yet. So here we go. He's continuing on. How great are his signs? How mighty are his wonders? His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. This is God's kingdom. He understood, as he's writing this, because of what he's about ready to go through, he came to understand that God is in heaven, and he rules over all of mankind. Absolutely. This is what we have to come and know. I, Nebuchadnezzar, verse 4, was at my ease in my house, flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream, and it made me fearful. Sometimes dreams make you fearful. Maybe sometimes you'll wake up with a smile on your face because God's going to bless you. And you saw it in a dream. But in this case, terrified him, made him fearful. And these fantasies, as I lay in my bed, and the vision in my mind kept alarming me. There's an agitation. There's a stirring in the spirit of a man at time. Pay attention to what the Holy Spirit is telling you. This is for us today now, as well it was for him. This is what we have to understand. God will speak to you. Listen to what he has to say. So he says, so I gave orders to bring into my presence all the wise men of Babylon. Daniel's not invited yet, just a spoiler alert, that they might know, make known to me the interpretation of the dream. They, the magicians, the conjurers, the Chaldeans, the diviner, these are all people that Daniel's the boss. He's the one that's high lifted up, but he was busy. So they all came, okay? The diviners, they came in, he related a dream, but they could not make the interpretation known to them. Finally, as a last resort, I added that, the last person he had to come to was the person that when he was a young man, he brought Nebuchadnezzar to enlightenment with a dream and interpretation. Remember that story? Chapter 2. It was a fantastic story. I'm not going to tell you the dream. See, this time he told them the dream and they couldn't get it. Dreams of God can only be interpreted by the Spirit of God. Human mind will never understand the dreams of God. It will not. So pay attention to what the Spirit says. Oh, Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, verse 9, since I know, he's convinced of this, and I love this. You have to know when the Spirit of God is in a man. You have to believe it. Believe and you will receive, okay? You have to know, since I know that the Spirit of the holy gods, this is the only way he had to understand, this is the only way he could communicate the thought. He didn't really know God and love God. This is the only way he could interpret that there's a higher power. This is his own, this is his words. He did the best he could. I know that there's a spirit of the holy gods in you, and no mystery baffles you. Tell me the vision of my dream, which I have seen, along with its interpretation. Now these were the visions in my mind as I lay on my bed while I was looking, and behold, there was a tree. As though this is a unique way for God to visit a man. The fact of the matter is, it's not a unique way. It's already been written in Scripture before this ever happened. Remember, what has Nebuchadnezzar already been through in his life? I don't want you to take your eyes off that because it helps us have clarity. He's already defeated Necho. But Jeremiah and Ezekiel write about that. He's already went to battle with him and won the war. He's already ruler over the world. He's already defeated Assyria, brought it to its knees. He's already overcome Jerusalem, and he has captured it. He's the King of Kings. He's the head of gold. He's in charge of everything while he's writing this. So the idea of the prophetic ministry that had already gone out to Assyria, to Tyre, to Sidon, to all these realms where Nebuchadnezzar has already defeated them. Now he's in a place where he has a dream. And now he becomes that. So if you're taking notes and you want to find these things, Ezekiel 31, you can write that down. We're not going there. And also Ezekiel 17, which we're not going there. You'll see this type of narrative. Ezekiel 14, Ezekiel 28, Ezekiel 29. All these tell the same story long before Nebuchadnezzar has had this dream. These things have already happened. So he continues, there was a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. This was his dream. This was a dream that terrified him. He didn't understand it. You can get a picture of it in your head. The tree grew large, became strong. Its height reached the sky. The prophets have already visited other nations and said this very same thing to these other nations. And you could have seen it play out in history had you known the history. This is interesting. The tree grew and became strong. Its height reached the sky, and it was visible to the end of the earth. Pay attention, America. I'm talking to you. Its foliage was beautiful and its fruit abundant, and in it was food for all. That he's talking about himself. This is what we're going to find out. The beast of the field found shade under it. Jesus tells a parable, if you want to have a Selah moment, about the trees. It's going to grow up into be a great tree, and the birds in the air are going to nest in it. Keep this in mind, because it's New Testament understanding of what happened in the Old Testament. Next time you read that parable, consider this and look at it. Consider Ezekiel and look at it. Who is he talking about, the tree, as though it's going to be a great and mighty church and all the birds of the air? When the Bible interprets, thank you. When the Bible interprets, I needed that help, brother, thank you. When the Bible interprets birds, ravens, they're the ones that are scavengers. Is that the tree? Is that the church he's talking about? But we'll move on from there. I looked in my vision and my mind as I lay on my bed, verse 13, behold, are you ready for this? Because you won't see this anywhere else in the Bible. Pay attention. This is interesting. An angelic watcher. You see the word watcher as though watchmen. What Ezekiel was made a watchman over the house that he was to look at. But this is an interesting use of that. An angelic watcher. So you wonder where Paul talks about spiritual wickedness and authorities and powers in high places. It takes a lot to describe what they are, because they're both good and evil. They are both good and evil. You know, heavenly beings that have charge over things that God has commanded. He has set them in order. God sets them in order. You have nothing to say about it. This is the fascinating thing. An angelic watcher, a holy one, descended from heaven. He's not talking about a demonic being. This is a holy one. Okay? Descended from heaven. He shouted out and he spoke as follows. Every angel that has ever been sent from God, they do not do their own thing. What do they do? They're messengers. And they do whatever the Father tells them to do. Establish that in your head. They're not controlling things. God is controlling things. When they come down with a message, the message is sure and its interpretation is right. He shouts out and spoke as follows, chop the tree and cut off its branches, strip off its foliage, scatter its fruit, let beasts flee from underneath it. it's coming down. You better run. Flee from underneath it and the birds from its branches. Yet leave the stump with its roots in the ground, but with a band of iron. You get the image, okay? A band of iron and bronze around it, and the new grass of the field. Grass is going to grow up. Foliage is down. The grass can grow. The sun is shining on it. It's got a band of iron around it and bronze. This is the image that he woke up with. Let his mind be changed from that of a man, and let the beast's mind be given to him, and for seven periods of time will pass over him. Interpretation is coming. Don't get lost in the poetry here. This sentence is by the decree of the angelic watcher, and the decision is a command from the holy ones. Things you can't see, but are. You have to believe it, or you don't believe it. That's up to you. You have to understand that there's principalities and powers, and there's things in control over nations. And these are the things but mighty, mighty in you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That doesn't negate that there are principalities and powers that God has put in charge in the world. So we don't understand it all. Let's move forward. This sentence is a decree from the angelic watcher, and the decision is a command of the Holy One. In order that the living, see, they're going to see the work of God, and the living are going to know. See, Nebuchadnezzar was living, and he should have understood these things had already taken place in the life of other nations. This nation, this America, should pay attention and see what has happened to other nations who have walked away from God. This nation should look and see what happens when you abandon the living God, and then pay attention. And the leaders of the nation, the ones that are moving and shaking, the ones that are making things happen, they should respond to the spirit of grace. This is what should happen. Nebuchadnezzar did not allow that to happen in his life. He just let things come down the trail. You meet Christians sometimes. Well, whatever the Lord is. Well, what is the word of the Lord to you? That's right. It's whatever he says to you. It's what it's going to be. You've got to walk by faith. You've got to believe that God is going to cause that to happen in your life. What has he made you? This is what you are. What has he commanded all of us? Commanded all of us to pray. Commanded also to believe. He commanded all of us to be a witness in the earth. So that men would see the great wonderful things of God. The decision is command from the Holy Ones in order that the living might know. God raised Jesus publicly from the dead. He raised him from the dead that the world might know. That's beautiful. The world can know this. That the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on who he wishes. It's amazing. It's his choice. It's not my choice. It's his choice. And sets over it the lowliest of men. This is the dream which I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now you, Belshazzar, please. That's not in there. Tell me the interpretation, insomuch as none of the wise men of my kingdom is able to make known to me the interpretation. But you are able, for a spirit of the holy gods is in you. He went to the man of God. He went to the man who knew God. But that wasn't his first choice. That's certainly going to be my first choice. You know, you feel symptoms, you feel ill, run to Jesus first. Run to the word first. Run to the covenant first. Run to what you believe first. And I'm going to say, thank God for doctors. Thank God that they can help. Thank God that they can bring relief, because I want to be able to function. That's what I was doing. I ran to God first. And for 15 years, I was running to God every day for 15 years while we were building this building. And finally, at some point, no one saw me out here anymore because I'm laying in there. I'm laying on the sound room because I can't sit. My leg goes to sleep. my pain starts hurting me in my hip, and I want to cry because the pain is so intense. And it's like, Lord, what should I do? He said, go to the doctor. But I've been believing for 15 years, not 15 minutes, 15 years while we were building a building. Thank God Steve was here. He has a strong back. We're lifting it. How much were those concrete bags, Steve? 80 pounds, 90 pounds? Dead lifting them off the ground with a hurt back. They're so heavy. You know, when we're mixing the concrete to put bricks in, this is what we were doing. This was the intense labor. And all through that, my back was hurting, back was hurting, back was hurting. Finally, we're finished the work, and he tells me to go to the doctor. So I went to the doctor, and they actually found something wrong. They found, it's like you have a broken bone. You go to the doctor, they set the bone. Yes, believe God for healing, but they set the bone. You have a tooth that's abscessed. You go to a dentist, a doctor, and he pulls the tooth out, and you get relief. For me, that's the way it happened for me. God can work a miracle on you. Thank God for his miracle power. Miracle power. I went out, I gave a testimony one time. I went out to my car, and I forgot something. I came to run in the building into here, and of course, I'm in my 50s. I'm not in my 20s anymore. I ran up the bank. I didn't want to take steps. It took too long. So I ran up the bank, and so when I stepped on the bank, I pushed really hard to motor up the bank, you know. And I ripped something in my calf. And I'm like, look, you're all right. You're all right. In a minute, God healed me. I just cried out to God. And it was like nothing happened. But I felt it happen. It was a tear. But I was healed instantly from that. That was amazing because God does do miracles. So let's get back to Daniel. Daniel, whose name is Belteshazzar, was appalled. I believe he was appalled because he has heard this before. This has already happened to Assyria, Tyre, Sidon. It's already happened to Necho in Egypt, and the same dream, if you want to look, had already come to them. That they were a great tree, that they flourished, that they fed all the people, that they were the life source of everything. When God makes you great, it's to benefit others. If God makes you wise, it's to bring impartation to others. If God causes you to see things in the Spirit, it isn't so that you're exalted. It's so that you can edify others. This is the way this thing works in the Spirit. The king responded and said, Daniel's thoughts were alarmed. Belteshazzar, it must have been a physical thing between the king looking at Daniel and seeing this expression on his face. Do not let this dream or interpretation alarm you, Belteshazzar replied. My lord, if only the dream applied to those who hate you and its interpretation to your adversaries. He's about ready to give it to him now. The tree that you saw, which became large and grew, whose height reached the sky, was visible to all the earth, and whose foliage was beautiful, just like Egypt, just like Assyria, just like Tyre, just like Sidon, just like all these other great nations that had once lived. Let me move on. The foliage was beautiful, its fruit abundant, just like America. Its fruit was for all under which the beasts of the field dwell and in whose branches the birds of the sky lodged. We have a lot of branches. The United States of America has a lot of branches all over the world, and all the birds are resting there. When Pastor Bill used to talk about this, when we had our collapse, small collapse that we had during the early 2000s, it affected the world so bad in what we went through. That's, economy is not my thing. I just knew it. I just knew that the nations were suffering because the United States was in business-wise, was suffering. Other nations suffer. India, we were going to India. Things were rough over there. In that the king saw an angelic watcher, Daniel's continuing to speak, a holy one descending from heaven and saying, chop down the tree, destroy it, leave the stump with its roots in the ground, but and a band of iron and bronze around it in the new grass of the field, and let it be drenched with dew from heaven, and let it share, let him share with the beasts of the field until seven periods of time over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High. It was bigger than this angelic watcher, which was come upon my lord the king. It's time. It's time. I've been with you for years, Nebuchadnezzar. Today's the day. Now's the hour. It's not quite true, but this is what he's saying. He is going to explain just exactly when it's going to happen. Stand by. That you be driven away from mankind, and your dwelling place be with the beasts of the field. This is the interpretation. Can you imagine that this is going to happen to this guy? How big is this guy? He's absolutely the King of Kings and the Lord over all the world. This is who he was, and God did this for him. God lifted him up to this high place. It says, you will be given grass to eat like cattle and be drenched with the dew of heaven, and seven periods of time will pass over you. Why is this happening to him? Until you recognize that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on who he wishes. Settle that in your spirit. He is the ruler of all mankind. I'm not sure why a doctrine fights against that. It does not fight against that. He's made... Matter of fact, it builds upon it. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, disarmed all principalities and powers and rulers. All those angelic watchers, they're now submitted to Jesus Christ, the King and Lord of all, because of the cross, because God bestowed on him the kingdom. All kingdoms, they belong to him now. He has the keys of death and hell. This is what's amazing, how this ties in to understand the authority of God and what he has given. Let's go a little farther. Until you recognize that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whom he wishes. And in that, it was commanded to leave the stump. You know, there's one of those little but words. It's kind of that way. You know, there's something else that's going to happen here if this happens. But if this doesn't happen, like for instance, if you're willing and obedient, then this will happen. But if you're not, then it's going to play out the way it's going to play out. And in that it was commanded that the stump with the root of the tree, your kingdom will be assured. Your kingdom will be assured to you after you recognize that heaven rules. That's all we need. Your salvation is assured to you if you recognize that Jesus Christ is Lord of all and that he died for your sins and that he was raised from the dead. Your salvation will be assured to you. This is such a connection. Therefore, O king, what have I said before? What does a prophet's message always contain? This prophet had a message to this king as well. He interpreted God's dream. He said everything he was going to say. Now he's going to bring a prophetic message to him. It's the same prophetic message that all of them have had. What's he tell you? Let my advice be pleasing to you. Break away now from your sins by doing righteousness, and from your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, in case there may be a prolonging of your posterity. He wants us to live long. He wants us to do good. He wants us to bless others. There's a prolonging of it if you walk in righteousness. All this happened to Nebuchadnezzar the king. 12 months later, he was a year. He talked to Daniel. And a year from this place, it was going to happen. And it's going to go on for how many years, did he say? Are you paying attention? 7 years. For 7 years, so 8 years have passed. When did he write this? I don't know. But my point is, tick tock, tick tock. Time is passing and watching. You're watching it happen right before you. All this happened. In 12 months, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace. The king reflected. He still didn't get it yet. He still, and how hard-headed are we sometimes? Well, we don't get it, and we don't get it, and we don't get it. And finally, we do get it. Sometimes it's through hardship. Sometimes it's through some pain. Sometimes it's through prayer. Sometimes it's through revelation and dream. Sometimes it's through a witness of a brother or sister. They'll come to you and they'll speak to you about some things they see in your life because they love you. It's all right. Don't get upset with people. When they love you and they come and they bring you the word of the Lord, don't be upset with people. Say, thank God someone loves me enough to say something, you know. But if it's none of your business, stay out of it. I will say that too. But see, God will come and visit you. The king reflected and said, is this not Babylon the Great, which I myself have built as a royal residence by the might of my power and for the glory of my majesty? Now we kind of get a picture of why he went wrong and where he went wrong. His thinking was wrong about life and himself. While the word was in the king's mouth, a voice came from heaven saying, King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is declared, sovereignty has been removed from you. And that was it for the old king. And you will be driven away from mankind, and your dwelling place will be with the beast. He's going to rehearse this again. You will be given grass to eat like cattle, and 7 periods of time will pass over you until you recognize. See, it'll go away. Until you recognize. If you're not going to recognize it, it will not go away. At the end of 7 years, you'll probably go away. But if you recognize it, your kingdom will be assured to you. This is what was happening in the king's life. So here he went. Rule over the Most High, over the realm of mankind, and bestows it on whoever he wishes. Immediately, the word concerning Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. What's immediately mean? It means what it says. And he was driven away from mankind, and he began eating grass like cattle, and his body was drenched with dew from heaven until the hair had grown. I try to get a picture of things in Scripture when I look at him. It was probably kind of like mine last week before I got my hair cut. But anyway, that's what my kids have told me. My girl said, Dad, when are you doing something with that hair? I said, I am doing something with it. I get up, I wash it, I brush it. She said, Dad, your hair is a hot mess. Come on, families are real. So my kids are coming to me and telling me. So my wife texted me and said, we're going for a haircut this morning. Was that Christmas Eve? Christmas Eve. We're going for a haircut as soon as I get off of work. His hair grew like eagle's feathers, and his nails, I've never had that problem, his nails like bird claws. Now, I have seen cashiers at the Walmart. Never mind. I don't know how they do it. That's amazing to me, okay? But at the end of that period, see, he had already gone through this. At the end of that period, I, Nebuchadnezzar, like Jonah, raised my eyes towards heaven. I raised my eyes towards heaven. You just have to picture this. This is like my life when I've had troubled times. I raised my eyes towards heaven, and my reason returned to me. See, sin is unreasonable. So you can't give a reason why people do that. Well, the one thing you can see, sinners, John 1, okay, John 1st chapter. They love darkness and not light. This is why people choose. You love your sin. And that's unfortunate, because that's the things that will cause us trouble in our life. So we have to continue to seek the light and hold fast to the light. Let me finish this part here. It says, at the end of that period, my reason returned, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. He saw it. It's like, oh, the light shone in his heart, and his eyes were opened, and he could see it. He could see his life before him. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion. All the prophets talk about this. There's going to be unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. This is what Isaiah said 200 years before this. Isaiah has already declared it. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. But he does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And no one can ward off his hand or say to him, what are you doing? Nobody can say that to God. What are you doing? What are you doing to me? I'll do what I want to. This is what God will say to us. My kids will never say that to me. What are you doing? I mean, you can imagine it in earthly terms. I do what I'm intending. This is what I'm going to do. This is what you're going to do. At that time, my reason returned to me. He was healed. At that time, if you don't mind, if I can say that, whatever he had, whatever mental condition that his face would change when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wouldn't bow down to him, his expression changed. You know, there's something wrong with him. Bipolar, you put it in modern terms, all you want. So when things didn't go his way, he got upset. But isn't that so much like humanity? Things don't go our way, we get mad, we get upset, however you want to say it. My reason returned to me, and my majesty and splendor were restored to me for the glory of my kingdom. It was given back to him, it was assured. 8 years have passed away. That's how fast it went. And I'm sure it didn't feel like 8 years to him. It probably felt like a lifetime. It never is. Our trials and tribulations and struggles, they seem like they take forever to get through. You know, Job's trials and tribulations and struggles, and sometimes when people preach it, they make it like it's half his lifetime when it was really not even a year. It was 9 months. Until he was at the end, and then God had lifted him up and restored him. Watch what happens. My counselors and my well, let me ask you this before we move on, because this is how I think when I read the word. Who was in charge? Who was now the great king of Babylon? Well, his son was, or his son's son, but his son was. And his son has been there now for 8 years. His son has been grooming. That's how kingdoms work. They're passed down to your son. I got a feeling his counselors, even though it doesn't say that in here, weren't liking the way things were going. We had it better with the King Nebuchadnezzar in office. So let's put him back in. Anyway, they sought him out. This is what it's saying here. They began seeking me out, so I was reestablished in my sovereignty. And surpassing greatness was added to me. What he had before, now it surpasses. And that's whatever you think you had, when God comes and his hand comes upon your life, it surpasses what you had. Whatever you think you had, it's better now. It's even better. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are true. And his ways are just, and he is able to humble those who walk in pride. Well, he's giving a deliberation about his own life. He knows that in his own life, he was walking in pride. He knows that that was his downfall at this point in the narrative. He understands where he erred in his ways. And then God had helped him and lifted him up and restored the kingdom back to him. And then I don't know that I'm even going to get here, but you see, time is going to pass, and his son is going to take his place, and it's not going to be a good thing. It'll probably be like the previous administration with his son working it before Nebuchadnezzar was restored. The hand is going to come out of the wall, and it's going to write on the wall. We're nearing the very end of this kingdom. This kingdom of Babylon is going to fall to the Medes and the Persians because God had already ordained it. He had already spoken it through the prophetic word, and it was going to come to pass. And Cyrus is going to come, "Oh king, I want the kingdom." And he's going to take it from him. And it's all going to fall through his son's administration. He should have been seeking his God. That's what you'll see when you go to the fifth chapter and read it. Daniel's called again. You should have seen what happened to your father. You should have paid attention to what happened to him. That's what he's going to say to him. But an angelic watcher is going to be there again and say, "It's over." Father, we thank you that our life is beginning in Christ and that we have an effect and an influence in those around us for good and for righteousness and for peace. And we carry a word of salvation for those around us, Lord God. So bring us those people that you would like us to influence and cause our mouth to speak. Let courage rise up and let us be a witness in our time, in our place, Father God. And we thank you for your righteousness and your goodness and that you're the one building your kingdom. And we're just blessed to be a part of it, Father God. We thank you for your loveliness and your kindness towards us in the name of Jesus. Amen.